Thank y'all. Thankful for the good singing this morning, the good playing, of course, and everybody being here this morning. Good morning. We're glad to see each and every one out today. We've got several out due to sickness and other things and travel and all, but we appreciate everybody coming out today. We're glad to have our visitors with us. A lot of visitors come in again, and we are always thankful to see you come to be with us is what I want you to know. We've had a busy weekend. Night before last, the church hosted Jubilee. And Brother Stewart, if you'd been here in Sunday school, he would have done a good job of thanking you, especially the ladies, for everything that you did for Jubilee this past week. And it was a great night, I thought. We done well. The church showed out in hosting the Jubilee, and the ladies done great as far as taking care of all the matters. Sister Cheryl took it all. Took care of the lead on that, and she said she couldn't have done it by herself, and I have to agree. I know nobody can do anything like that except that the Lord helped them and everybody else falling in. It was a good night. It was a good time of fellowship between all of those that came, especially the sister churches that came. And just enjoyed the good singing is what I think we all enjoyed very much. And so just thankful for everybody doing everything tonight for that. We get a few weeks break, maybe almost a month, I guess it is, before we have anything else here at the church. But we want to keep in mind being prayerful. Need to be prayerful for everything that's going on. A lot of revivals are starting up, and Lord, we want to hear about people being saved, is my prayer. I want to hear about every church seeing somebody saved. If every church got to see at least one soul saved, that'd be wonderful. But I'm going to be a little bit greedy. I hope every one of them sees at least two or three saved, maybe even five saved. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And that's what we need to be praying for at this day. We are going to move right along with our service. Brother Sam's is not here today. His mother is in the hospital, and he needed to be with her. Y'all do remember her in your prayers. Remember Brother Sam and his family with her sickness. And I just asked you to pray for them. But kids, I'm going to be doing the children's church today. So all the kids, head this side over here. Come right over here. Come right on. Yeah, the visitors, we'd love to have you too. Come on. Just fall in on the steps here anywhere you can. All right. Let me get down here more like your level. I'm going to tell you a little story today that I heard not too long ago, and it was about two men that lived side by side. Well, it was an older man and a younger man that was living side by side, and somehow or another, the older man decided that the younger man was stealing something from him. That's never right to steal anything, is it? So what he did was the older man, he really didn't have proof of what he was saying, but he was just so sure that the young man was stealing things from him that he started telling other people about it. And as he told other people, it went all over the community. Finally, one day, the sheriff showed up at the young man's house, and he said, "Son, I'm going to arrest you." He said, "For what?" He said, "For theft." Theft? He said, "What am I supposed to steal?" I said, "From what I hear, you've been stealing from your neighbor." Well, he took the young man into custody, and he took him before the judge, and he brought the old man too because he needed to testify to what the young man had done. The old man was called up before the judge, and he said, "Son, you've been accused of a very strong accusation, saying you've stolen." He said, "Sir, I haven't stole anything. I especially haven't stole from my neighbor. He looked at the older man. He said, well, you've been telling that this young man has stolen from you. He said, what's your proof? Well, the old man kind of shrugged and he said, well, I don't really have any proof. The judge looked at him. He said, sir, haven't you been telling that this man has been taking things from you? Well, yes, sir, I have, he said. Well, sir, do you have any proof? He said, well, no, sir, I don't. He looked at the young man. He said, son, you're free to go free. He said, you didn't steal anything. There's no proof of you stealing. He looked again. The judge looked at the older man. He said, sir, you've made a great violation now. He said, you're the ones in trouble. You've been telling stories on this man. You've been lying about him. They call it definition of character is what they call it in the courtrooms. He said, sir, I'm fixing to sentence you here. He said, I'm fixing to condemn you for what you've done, and you're going to pay a price. He said, tomorrow morning I want you back in this courtroom. And he said, then I'll sentence you. But before you leave, I want you to take a piece of paper, and I want you to write down everything that you said about this young man. Everything that was a lie, I want you to write it down. Man got over on the table and he wrote down all the lies that he told about the boy. And then he brought it back up to the judge and he said, I want you to tear that piece of paper in pieces. And the man kind of looked at him and he tore it in half. He said, tear it some more. And he tore it. He ended up tearing it in probably 12, 15 pieces. And the judge looked at him. He said, now I want you to take those pieces of paper. He says, it's windy outside. He said, I want you to go down the road as you walk home. And he said, I want you just to throw one out ever so often. Let the wind carry it where it'll go. Well, he looked at it a little bit. And he said, okay, Judge, I'll do that. But he said, now you remember, sir, you got to be back here tomorrow for your sentence. He said, okay. So as he went home, the first one, he pitched it up in the air and he watched it sail away. He went just a little bit farther and he pitched it up in the air and the wind took it over this side and he just kept on doing that. Well, he came back to the courtroom the next morning and this was what the judge said. He said, sir, did you do what I told you to do with those lies that you told about that young man? He said, yes, sir. He said, your sentence is to go find all of those pieces of paper. Sounds hard, doesn't it? You see, when the man had scattered them, those things, the judge said, that's the same way your lies were. You scattered your stories about this young man, and they were untrue. You need to go find those lies and pick them back up. He says, I can't do that. You see, my story has a meaning to it, and what it means is, don't ever say something that you know is untrue about somebody. Now, y'all have studied the Ten Commandments. The ninth commandment is not to bear false witness against your brother or sister. You see, what he was telling them, don't tell a lie on your friend, on your neighbor, on anyone. Always make sure that if you don't talk about other people in the first place, but never spread a lie on somebody. Because when you tell that lie, it's like a piece of paper that's thrown up in the wind. It may go for long ways to other people's ears. So remember that ninth commandment. Do not tell lies on your neighbors and on your friends. That's my lesson today. Turn it back over to y'all. Y'all can go. Thank you, Cohen. I heard that story not too long ago, and I thought, that's a good lesson. I hope it didn't get above the kids' heads. But it's a good lesson for us also. So many times we hear people tell stories about friends or neighbors or church members even. And it is important for us to stop it right where it's at. The best thing we can do is not say anything against our friends or our neighbors, but to love them as the Lord would have us to do. I'll hush with that. It's good to see each and every one here again. We're glad to have our visitors today. Does anybody have a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer at this time? Lord help. Yeah. Lord bless. Lord bless. Appreciate this. We're glad that the man got saved. And let's pray that the Lord will save these others. It's important for us to spread the word of God to the other people. And you might say, well, I can't quote scripture. The word of God is telling them how they can be saved by his goodness and grace. That's the word of God. Anybody else have a prayer request on your heart?
Mm-hmm. Daughter Bailey. Bailey's now 4, and she'll always have problems.
Mm-hmm.
She'll never be without problems. But she's been struggling again and requiring oxygen.
Lord help.
And so just pray for now. They have 2 children.
Lord
and
help.
So it makes it even harder for them. So,
yes.
Thankfully, their second child is healthy.
Good.
But just pray for baby Bailey.
Lord help. Let's do remember this request also. Sister Barbara, I've seen your hand go up. Uh-oh. Lord, help. Let's do remember Brother Lowell in our prayers. Somebody else. There's others that of our church members. As we said earlier, there's members that's not able to come anymore. We need to be praying for them because of health-wise. We need to remember others that have sickness. I mentioned Brother Sam's mother. We want to remember her. Anybody else before we go to the Lord in prayer? I appreciate each and every one being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. I asked you to pray for me today. Pray that the Lord would help me today, that I could preach what God would have me to, if that's what he wants. So let's pray that the Lord will just bless us today in this service. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart? Brother Randall, will you start our prayer, please?
singing this morning.
Appreciate it very much. Do want to say we've got some that's been with us, hadn't been with us for a while, and we are glad to see you back with us, some cause of sickness, some cause of accidents even, and we're just glad that everyone is back with us today. And I just pray that the ones that are traveling or out because of sickness today will be back with us next Sunday is what I hope, or even sooner, I should say. And I just pray that the Lord will bless them today. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we get started? Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Yes, please do remember Addie. Appreciate this. Somebody else. Just thank him. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Good to have you back with us, Brother Ray. Bless your heart. Appreciate this. Somebody else? That's one of the greatest joys that we have, is just telling that we thank God for saving our soul. That's one of my greatest joys. Just tell somebody. And let's always be faithful. Especially when the Lord moves us to do it. Now, I'm of the opinion that you don't have to be inspired by the Spirit to say, thank you, God. A lot of people think that. But I do believe this. It's important for us to thank the Lord for everything that He's done for us, especially saving our souls. It's important. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Blaine. We've been praying a lot, and I'm glad you're able to be back with us today. He was near death. Somebody else. We're going to take a reading lesson today from the book of John, the fourth chapter. The book of John and the fourth chapter. I ask that you pray for me today as we try to bring this message. And the Lord tells a parable here, and I want you to pay attention to it for just a little bit. I'm going to start with verse 35. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples who had just returned after that he had, I'm going to say, saved the Samaritan woman. And she went off praising the Lord and saying, come see, a man told me all things that ever I did. When the disciples came back, they found the woman leaving, and Jesus starts to talk to them. And he says in the 35th verse, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. And he that reapeth, now what I'll explain that, reapeth, a lot of people don't understand that word nowadays. It means gathers. It means gathers the fruit. If you go into a strawberry field and you pick strawberries, you're reaping the field. You're gathering of the fruit thereof. Receiveth wages. And if you're being hired to do that, you're receiving the wages. And gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both that he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. In other words, the man that owned the field, he planted the field. But now you've gone into the field and you're gathering out of the field, is what he's saying, for a wage. He says then, and herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. Then he says, I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. The 39th verse ends the parable, but I want to go read it too. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all things ever I did. And that's reading for our reading lesson today, verses 35 through 39. And that is our reading lesson today. I have another story for you. I hope you'll bear with me for a little bit. But I heard this story earlier in the week. And the story was that there was a lady standing in a grocery line. She was waiting to get up to the checkout counter. And there was a lady checking out in front of her. And the person at the counter knew the lady and called her by name and said, how are you doing? Said the lady just dropped her head and she said, not too well. She said, my husband just lost his job. My son's up to his old tricks. She said, I don't know how we're going to make it over the next few weeks. She said, the lady behind her, she said, I didn't know what to do. She said, I could have paid for her groceries. She said, I could have probably, with my company, I could have probably got her husband a job, but I didn't want to insult her. So she didn't know what to do. And so as the lady went out, this lady took care of her groceries. And as she was going out to the car, she saw the lady pushing her buggy back to the stand. And as she got there, this woman remembered a card that had been given her, and she had it in her purse. And she went up to the lady and she said, I heard you talking inside. And she said, I want you to know I'm sorry, but I want to give you something. And she says, it's not a wad of cash and it's not a job. It's not anything like that. But she just handed her that card. The lady read the two words on the card and started sobbing. The two words was, you matter. You matter. Now, there's more to the story, but I'm going to stop right there. That's the title of this message today is that you matter. We talked a lot in Sunday school this morning. Brother Stewart doing a good job about talking about our helpmates, our ladies in the church, and talking about how good and how great they did. I'm going to use that word. Purpose in life. They do a great job of doing that in all things, not just serving tables, but as Brother Stewart said, taking care of us. It is important for us to remember that we all matter in the work of God. That's what this message is going to be about today. We matter. You matter is what I want to bring out today in this message. Now, in that parable today, first of all, Jesus told them, he said, look on the fields. He said, they're already white, ready for harvest. And as he said that, he was talking about the Samaritan people. These were a people that were basically half Jews and half Samaritans. And really and truly, they were despised by all the world. They were. They were despised by the Jewish people. They really were despised by the people that they were intermingled with. And because of that, they were looked down upon. But Jesus, looking upon them, he said, look on this field. It's ready for harvest. We look around us here today, and we see a lot of saved people. We look around us, and if we especially look, we can see different ones that needs to get saved. And they need to be born into the family of God, in other words. And we look at that and we say, that's a great opportunity, and it is. And we need to take care of the ones at home first of all, but there is a great big harvest here in Murfreesboro that if we looked around, we'd see a field that's ready for harvest. And we might say, well, they may be a people that will deny God. I had a man talk to me last night, and he was talking about Murfreesboro and talking about how much it had grown and truthfully how evil it had gotten over the last several years since he had gone to college here. And he talked about how much troubles and sorrows there was in this land. I'm not telling you any secrets, am I? I'm not telling you something you do not know. But what he was talking about, it is necessary for this church to be here because we matter. You matter today. This is a field that is ready for harvest. It is a field that it needs to have proper seed sown in it. And I realize there's a lot of different places in this community that are trying to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want you to know something today. You have the responsibility as the church here at Murfreesboro to spread the gospel to them. You matter today. You have a great responsibility today to tell, first of all, these that are inside of your walls, but not only them, but those that are outside the walls. When Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, she said, "Why are you talking to me?" She thought of him as being a Jew. He wouldn't even speak to her. We as God's people today, we have a responsibility to speak to those that are truly in need today. The other night at the service, we had a group of men that came in, and as Brother Stewart said, when they all walked in, they all had on identical shirts. Some of them had tattoos. Some of them looked a little bit rough, I'll say. And a lot of us, our radar kicked in, as Brother Stewart said. And we kind of looked at that. But when we found out who they was and what they were doing here and how they had gotten invited to the service, I don't know about you, but I was glad to see them in our service here. I was. They were a rehab group was what they were, and they were invited to come to church, and I invited them to come back on Sunday is what I did. And I hope and pray that they will make their way back here on some Sunday morning. I don't know the hearts of those individuals. I don't know if any of them are saved. Many of them really enjoyed the service, it looked like. But the thing about it is, for everyone that looked to enjoy it, there was probably five more of them that didn't. In other words, they were needing to come to the glory of God. Now, it is important for us to remember that we are a responsible group. Now, Brother Stewart got on this a little bit today in our Sunday school lesson. I want you to know something. I do not look at the Sunday school lessons, and I do it for a purpose. I don't want the Sunday school to influence my sermon, is what I don't want it to do. I enjoy the way Brother Stewart and all of our teachers bring it out. But the fact of the matter is, God works his way. If I'd known what Brother Stewart was going to teach, I might have left this part out. But it's important for us to remember that we are reaping what we're sowing. And I want you to realize today, this church is the bride of Christ today. And because it is the bride of Christ, We have a great responsibility. I wish Brother Stewart's lesson had been recorded today, because he talked about the helpmates of the ladies and how that they are to help us gentlemen. But I want you to remember that was what they were created for. The ladies was. Eve was made from the rib of Adam that she might be by his side, and the intention was that she might be a helpmate unto him. But I want you to go back with me, if you will, over into the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians, if you will, and what that scripture tells us, that Jesus, or rather Paul, talking to the church there about the women and the wives of the men. And the very first verse that I want to bring out is verse 25. And he says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church," he said, "and gave himself for it." Now, we all know that today God sent his Son into the world that he might give his life for it, because that he loved his church. He said, we as gentlemen, we are to love our wives as Christ loved his church. Now go on. He said, go drop down if you would to verse 28. He said, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He said, he that loveth his, verse 28, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. I'm talking about us gentlemen, right? I want you to think about that today, that we are to love our wives in this manner. But then I want you to drop down to verse 31. Verse 31 says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Talking about us and our wives. This is the great mystery, he says. He said, this is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. You as a church, you are his wife. You are the wife of Jesus. And he loves you in the greatest fashion that ever was. I want you to get that today. And I'm going to get around to the part, getting back to the reaping and sowing, and that you matter in this. He says, I'm talking about the church, Christ and his church. Now, when we look at the subject of a wife, what was she created for? She was a helpmate, right? She was to help her husband to get through this life. She was to, in my case, remind me of the things I forget. In my case, it is to help me with the things that I need to eat. In my case, she helps me to make sure that I stay healthy, that I can be around for a little while. In my case, my lovely wife is the best thing that I could have ever found. And I'll say this, God put us together. I hope every single one of you gentlemen feel that same way about your wife. But I want you to take it another step and think about your wife's duties to you. Notice I said duties. Yes, duties. I guarantee you every one of us gentlemen have a thing that we especially think, well, that's my wife's duty. She's supposed to do that. Every once in a while I get told, you just think I'm supposed to cook your meals. But I cook part of the time. Now, wait a minute here. I do cook part of the time. But the thing about it is, we have in mind, there are duties that our wives have in, that we have in mind that our wives are supposed to take care of us. Jesus has in mind duties for his wife. Did you get that? He has duties in mind that we need to do also. In our reading lesson, he talked to his disciples. This was the early church in that day. He said, "He that reapeth receiveth wages." I want to ask you something today, ladies. Does your husband pay you wages? I'm not getting any nodding of heads. Well, the wages that we generally think of in marriage is that, we tend to think, well, it's a paycheck or something like that. How many of us men hand our checks over to our wives? Okay? Not how many of us from time to time, and probably we don't do it near enough, we tell our wives, "I love you." That's one of the greatest payments I believe that we can make toward our wives is to tell them we love them. One of the next greatest things that we can do as far as our wives is concerned is to say thank you for what you did. Sometimes it is necessary for us just to be appreciative of what our wives do for us. But I want you to understand, ladies, there are duties that that you have toward us. But gentlemen, as the church and the ladies of the church, we have duties to Jesus, first of all. And the very first thing to do is to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body is what the scripture says. Well, preacher, you're talking about when you got saved. Yes, that started that love, but I want you to know something. When we saw our wives, there was a moment that we fell in love with them, and at that moment, that love did not just last for a moment and die. I love my wife more now than I ever did. There was that moment when it just sparked. Same way with salvation. But I love her with all my heart, mind, soul, and body. And you as a church, you are expected to love your God, your Lord, in the same way. With all of your heart, mind, soul, and body. And as you love them, there are times that we need to be thankful. Many of us men from time to most, I'm going to say this, most of the time, we look at it in this way. Well, she knows. Guilty. How much does it help them when we say thank you? As a church, as God's people today, it's important for us to love the Lord, but to also be thankful. Now, we're working in a field here today. God has given you a great big field to work in. In that field, there's a lot of fruit there, and it makes it. I want to ask you, how many of you has ever went into a strawberry field and you started picking up the different fruits that was there? You picked up the strawberries. You picked them. You put them in your basket. When I was a kid, mother and daddy would take me to pick strawberries. I might pick 10, but I ate 4. Is that right? We're reaping in this field. It's ready. It's white, ready for harvest. And what I want you to understand today, what we sow, we will reap. Now, what the psalmist said in the 126th chapter of the book of Psalms, if I can get my fingers in the right place, in the 126th chapter of Psalms, he said, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." There's many a time we as parents, we have done the work. We've sowed with our children. We have sowed in this church the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have sowed the love for one another. And that love is sowed many times with tears in our eyes. But the fact of the matter is, it will bring forth greatly. He said, we will shall reap in joy. There's times that I've been in churches. You saw it here even last year, even in the last few months, when one came and sought the Lord, and we sowed tears in prayer, in constant thinking about them. Thinking about them, wanting them to be saved. And we saw them come forth at that time with tears of joy on their face. Smiling, wasn't you? But we reaped in joy. We sowed. Maybe sometimes you didn't, maybe in those cases, not everybody that was in the church that day, and I'm going to pay a special attention to Lane at this time because he's the last one we saw say. Maybe some in the congregation, they didn't really know Lane. Maybe there was visitors here that never saw him before. But they knowing the salvation, what salvation was, when they saw him go down to pray, they prayed. They didn't put a lot of labor into it. But boy, they sure did reap joy. Because we saw the joy of his soul. And we bore witness one with another with him. In the joy that he knew that he was saved. You see, that's how the Lord gives us. There's been many a time that I've went into a church service visiting somewhere, and I didn't know the people that was there that much, especially the ones that maybe came forward and started talking about being saved. Have you ever been in a church service? Maybe you just knew a few people. And you hear somebody over on this side, and you really didn't know them. And they stood up and they just said, "Thank God for saving my soul." Our first reaction is a smile, usually. We got to reap a little joy. Did we sow anything? No. You see, the Lord is giving you the opportunity of just enjoying his goodness. Now, I want to go a little different way here. A lot of people have in their minds, well, I don't need to do anything for the Lord. It's not necessary for me to even go to church even. I'm thankful every one of you are here today. I want you to know that. I am. If you're saved, I'm really glad you're here. If you're not saved, I'm really glad you're here. And he wants to reward you. But I want you to take something to heart here. There's another side to sowing. You remember the parable, and I'm not going to use this very much, but there's a parable that Jesus told. He said that there was a man went into his field and he sowed good seed in there. And then over the night, the enemy came in and he sowed weeds in it. Hey, I've sowed several fields and over the years, and these times there's been a bunch of weeds snuck in there. I didn't sow them, but they came up. Now, the other side of this you'll find in the book of Job, in the 4th chapter. He said, "Even as I have seen they that plow iniquity, sin, and sow wickedness will reap the same." Wait a minute. You said if we sow in tears, we will reap joy. Now, wait a minute here. What are you talking about as far as if we sow iniquity? We as a church here today, we have a responsibility. Every one of us, if our spouses got word that every time we walked into the house, Brother Stewart brought this up, if our wives took a rolling pin to our heads, something would have to happen, wouldn't it? First time, okay, but she's just mad about something. Second time, why are you doing this? Third time, you've got to be kidding me. Fourth time, honey, something's got to happen. You're going to have to go. I've got to go. Something's got to happen here. Right? What about with God? Jesus told a parable, and let me get there. Excuse me. In Luke, the 13th chapter. And he says here, he spake unto also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. And he came and sought fruit thereof and found none. He found none. Then said he to the dresser of this vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. That's harsh, ain't it? Now, I still have a few cattle, and I still deal with them. You know, they tell you that if you're farming and you've got a cow that doesn't have a calf within a year, you better get rid of that cow. Something's wrong. Now, I'm a little stubborn. I'm merciful to them. I'll give them another year. I've done that 3 years with one, but she hit the road this past week. Can a church not bring forth fruit? What is your fruit that you would present to God? What he says here, then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth thee? In other words, why are you letting it just sit there and pull out of the saw the ground? Then he said, the dresser. By the way, this is Jesus. And he's talking about us. He said, Lord, let it alone this year. He said, I'll dig about it. He uses the word dung it. It means fertilize it. He said, I'll fertilize it. And he says, if it bear fruit, well, but if he don't, then I'll cut him down. You see, the Lord is looking at you today as a church. He's looking about us and he's seeing the fields white for the harvest. And he's wanting us to be reaping in that field. Now, the way we really reap in that field is spreading the gospel, sowing good seed to them. And we sow, and we can reap joy out of those things. Hey, every once in a while, you may get the opportunity to reap of that field something that you didn't even sow. But we need to be sowing. We need to be producing fruit that God wants us to produce. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know something. I love you like I would my wife as a church. I want you to know that. Jesus loves you as his wife. Do you understand what I'm saying? And he wants the fruits that she brings to him. The newborn souls. The praise that he gives you to give to him. The thankfulness, the other things that we as a people of God owe him so much. Now, I know this message hadn't been to those that are unsaved. But you today have the seed. It's not always meant for me to sow the seed. You know, there was times when my father would look at me and I knew he didn't really trust me to sow right. Not like he wanted me to. But he would tell me, he said, you take that bag of seed and you go out there and sow. Then there was times he went and sowed. There was times my brother went and sowed. I'm asking you to sow because the fields are white. They're ready for harvest. I mentioned strawberries earlier. It's the time of year for strawberries, right? Some of you probably don't like strawberries. I like them. I like the blessings of God. I hope you like the blessings of God also. Brother Key, that's going to be our message today. If you're here today and you're lost, you can be in the family. You can be in the bride of Christ by following the Lord. You get saved, and then you join the church, and then you got a chance to be a part of that bride. But getting saved is the first step that you make. Seek the Lord is our request to you. Now, I want us to come into the altar and shake hands. It's good for us to have fellowship one with another. Remember I said one of the great things about being married is love. And I want us to love one another as we sing. Brother Key, while we sing, if you would. Everybody come in. If you don't feel like coming in, I understand. But let's all be about God's business. If you see somebody lost and you feel like you ought to say something to them, ask them to an altar. Tell them we'd love to see them saved. Something, just whatever God lays on your heart. While we stand and sing.